what's going on the other side of the palate? Well, on the other side of the palate, we have Narmer again. And even better, in front of him, right in front of him, is a chisel and a fish. He's named. That's his name, Narmer. But this time, he's not wearing the white crown. He's wearing the red crown. He has conquered the king of the north, and he's wearing his crown. Narmer is the first king of Upper and Lower Egypt. Egypt is now united under one ruler. Narmer is shown in a procession. He's walking in a procession. Now, one of the things you spot right away on the Narmer palette is how big Narmer is. He is twice as large as anyone else on the palette. This is another tradition started on the Narmer palette that is going to continue for 3,000 years. It's called hierarchical proportions. What it means is the more important the guy, the bigger he is. And Narmer is way bigger than anybody else. So we've got Narmer much bigger in a procession. In front of him, right in front of him, is a little figure, a man, much smaller. And he's kind of hunched over. It's a strange posture. It's almost as if he's carrying a weight. And there are a couple of hieroglyphs behind him. And what they say is, really, it's early hieroglyphs for vizier. He is the second in charge. It shows that Narmer has come with his assistant, a vizier. And the reason he's hunched over is, if you look very closely at that Narmer palette, he's wearing a strange garment. He is wearing a leopard skin. That is a sign of authority. And what he has to do, because he's wearing a leopard skin, which is both heavy and not easily tailored, is he's holding it on. That's why he's walking like this. So you've got Narmer with his vizier. They're marching in a procession. You have people with banners, pennants, signs of areas, right? And they're walking towards a group of people who have been beheaded, and their hands are tied behind their backs. Right? Narmer has conquered, and he is showing what happens to the enemy. Now, maybe most important for the Narmer palette, maybe the most important feature on it, is right beneath this scene is another scene of two mythological animals. They look like leopards with necks that are even longer than giraffes. And the necks are intertwined, forming a circle, right? Forming a circle. Now, I think that the circle is where the cosmetics were ground. I think that's your smooth spot where you could put your fat and your pigment, grind it, and you'd put it on the statue. But I think the intertwined necks of the two animals represents the joining of Upper and Lower Egypt. I mean, this is, in a sense, Egypt's Declaration of Independence, or it's the Magna Carta, it's something like that. But this palette is showing you what happens when Egypt really becomes the first nation in the history of the world. Beneath that scene of the intertwined animals, beneath the scene, is one other scene that's important. It's a bull. And the bull has broken down a wall around a city, and he's trampling on someone. Now, the bull is the second symbol of the pharaoh that's going to be used in Egypt. We have the falcon, and now we have the bull. The bull, of course, is the idea of the power. And this is the pharaoh, has broken down the walls of a city, captured the city, and is trampling on the enemy. So Narmer has really done a great thing, and he's saying it. Now, one last thing I should say about the palette. It's a kind of detail that I like. Nobody knows this, and it's something I'm not sure what to make of, but I think it's important. It arose when I was waiting in the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, where the palette is. It's on display on the first floor. As soon as you go in, it's the thing you see. Everybody who comes to Egypt goes to the Egyptian Museum, and they see the Narmer palette. It is like the Declaration of Independence for Egypt. It is important. I was waiting for somebody, and I was supposed to meet him by the palette. We said, meet by the palette. Now, typical person was Egyptian, was late. I was waiting for him, and I have nothing to do. I'm waiting around. I say, you know, I might as well really look closely at the palette. I've never really stared at it for a long time. I've got time, I guess. So I'm looking at the palette. And I'm looking and looking, and I decide to look on the other side. I go around it. It's upright. You can walk around it. And I realize something As I say, I'm not sure what to make of it, but I think it might be important. The two sides of the palette were carved by different people. The same artist did not carve the front and the reverse. Now, why do I say that? Remember the rectangle, the serech, that's the palace facade? If you look at that on one side of the palette and then the other, you will see totally different. They're recognizable as palace facades. The one has four columns, another has two columns. It's totally different in style. And if you look at the hieroglyphs, they're totally different. That is, hieroglyphs are a handwriting. You know, one of the hieroglyphs that's used on the palette is a rosette, a little flower petal. One side it has six petals, another side it has seven. It looks totally different. One side it's elegant, the other side it's clumsy. Clearly, two different artists carved the different sides of the palette. I'm not sure what that means. I'll give you a suggestion. Just a suggestion.